But I think I really enjoyed, you know, how, you know, the thing that happens with, you know, everyone. And like, and I'm like, dude.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Nick Glover, Tim Wick, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks. Geeks without God.
This week, we're going to put a smile on your face as we talk about Infinity War. What did Thanos have in store for the Avengers? Listen on to find out. Spoilers ahead.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Nick Glover, joined as always by my co-hosts, Tim Wick. And Molly Glover.
Dun, dun, dun!
And we're going to talk about the latest Marvel Cinematic Universe movie, Infinity War, the fourth Avengers movie. So
prepare your butthole for the spoilers.
Yeah, we're going to spoil the shit out of the movie.
In fact, we already kind of have.
A little bit.
Or did we?
You might not know that if you haven't seen it, but if you've seen it, you get it. So, stop listening now if you're spoiler adverse and haven't seen the movie yet.
Honestly, I would say even if you're not usually spoiler adverse, I think this one's worth turning us off for. Go see it. It's Cabin in the Woods protocol, man. Just go see it. It's going to blow your fucking mind.
The less you know going in, the more you'll enjoy it, I think, beyond seeing the previous 18 films.
We'll be here when you get back.
Yeah. This show's going to go up and it's going to stay up. None of our podcasts have ever been removed. So if we do a spoiler-filled episode, you can go back and listen later.
Yeah.
And it's still there.
Right.
Nick, is that true that there's 18 movies before this one? This is the 19th movie?
Ant-Man and the Wasp will be the 20th Marvel Cinematic Universe movie in July. Yeah.
Do we know yet? Is Ant-Man and the Wasp going to be like post?
It takes place between Civil War and Infinity War.
I'm guessing there's going to be something. It's your last warning. I'm guessing there's going to be something at the end that is related to the dusting.
Where the 50% off coupon.
They're going to get the news about the 50% off coupon.
Yeah.
And or someone's going to get dusted. That would be even cooler. Is if someone
like post credit scene, somebody
or
gets
even
dusted.
Just at the end of the movie, and they're like, "What the fuck?" And,
so, boy. It's hard to speculate about the next Marvel's Avengers movie because so much of the information we found out that we've been given or presented about Infinity War turned out to be, there were a lot of fakes.
Yeah.
There were a lot of disinformation in the advertisement that was very deliberate. A lot of special effects that were changed, all as a way of keeping some surprises in the movie because audiences are so hungry for information and with the internet, everything travels so fast and everyone talks and theorizes and gossips. Hulk is heavily featured in Wakanda in the trailers.
I read a report that only Benedict Cumberbatch had the full script.
Yeah.
Of all the actors, because he was the only one who needed to act with full knowledge of what was going to be happening, because Doctor Strange had seen all of the possible futures and he knew which one they were going to try to do.
I love that.
And so he was the only one who knew the whole script. Everyone else was completely taken aback by things as they were happening and got pages on the day.
To the point where they were actually giving Tom Holland fake scripts because that kid has fucking loose lips. Like, have you seen the interview stuff with him and Cumberbatch on the road together?
I haven't.
There's like five or six interviews where Cumberbatch and Tom Holland are getting interviewed, and Tom Holland's like, "Yeah, there's this one part where I said to my stunt double that I could be in the webbing and go into the water, and shit." like he just keeps on getting super excited and saying something, and like,
which is so Peter Parker.
Yeah, it got to the point where Cumberbatch just started humming and singing over him in interviews, or like interrupting him to like save him from getting sued. Basically, I mean,
or not being able to be Spider-Man again if he ever does get to be Spider-Man.
Because
he disappears, and like the only scene that like seriously made me almost cry. Aww. I didn't cry, but I got real close with him disappearing.
So the Marvel Infinity War is the kind of the culmination of everything that's been set up since before the Avengers, before the first Avengers movie.
Sure.
With Thor and with the Tesseract.
Yeah,
and,
when was the first, was the first Infinity Stone we saw the one in the Tesseract?
I think so. Yeah.
And,
We actually saw the Infinity Gauntlet back then too, but it was a fake.
Was it a fake or was it the one that Odin made?
The one that Odin had, which is fake.
Yeah. That's a fake.
Yeah. Hela like pushes it over, and like regards it as trash when she's taking Asgard back. Thanos, the big purple angry guy, is out to get the Infinity Gems stones.
They're gems in the comics.
Yeah.
Nick accidentally says Infinity Gems. It's just because he's better than you at being a nerd.
So he's out to get these stones to get the ultimate power of the universe, like a godlike power, because he's out to destroy half of all life.
I would even say that he has powers beyond that of a god, because his powers are, what's more powerful than a god, the god, as it were,
he can control basically everything.
Yeah.
Right.
Once he gets them all.
Which he does,
which that shocked the shit out of me.
Oh, yeah.
This whole movie was genuinely believing, and I knew there was a part two coming.
Yeah.
I genuinely believed that something was going to happen to destroy that last stone.
Right.
And the mind
stone. It does happen.
Right. And that would be the thing, or that they'd destroy the time stone.
Yeah.
I actually thought it would be the time stone, because that would be the hardest to come back from, which we now know, because he uses the time stone to rewind and get the mind stone back.
I figured that when Doctor Strange had gone forward and seen his 14 million some permutations of possibility, that he had done something to... He had put something in motion, or taken something from the future, or fucked with time in some way that would have been a time MacGuffin.
There's still a possibility of that. I mean,
there is.
We have to. You can't assume anything. But to me, it seems comparatively logical that the timeline that we're in is the timeline that Doctor Strange saw us.
The one.
Winning.
So I was winning.
That's because I 100% agree, especially since when he handed over the time stone, and he said to Tony, like, it had to be done.
Yeah.
And it's like, of course, because I imagine it's in every other one, they try to fight him for every stone.
Right.
And this is the only one where he's like, you know what? Fuck
but
it,
they
here.
They still, and I mean, to me, and it, you know, we're in this spoiler group that, and of course, you know, people are always asking questions, and the nature of the internet age is people are always nitpicking, but it seems to me that part of it was Thanos had to believe that they were fighting tooth and nail to stop him from getting
it. Right.
Yeah. He had to believe that stone was given to him freely.
And I've heard a couple of good theories or people talking about what was different about the way that fight on Titan went down, where Strange, like, because whatever happens on Earth is fairly unaffected by what happens on Titan, with the exception that Thanos is given the Time Stone.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. So, nothing probably shakes out differently in most of those millions of combinations on Earth. What happened differently on Titan? And what happens differently is Strange gives them the stone in exchange for their lives, and who survives the getting dusted? Tony Stark and Nebula.
And that seems important.
And, well... So, in the Infinity Gauntlet comic, Nebula is the one that takes the gauntlet from Thanos.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's exciting.
He ascends to, like, a godly plane replacing eternity as, like the existence of the universe itself, kind of.
Sure.
And he leaves his corporeal body on the throne he makes for him and Death, and the shambling undead corpse of Nebula that he's transformed her into to torture for his and Death's amusement shambles over and just plucks the gauntlet right off his fucking hand and puts it on. And she's not as well versed in controlling the Infinity Gauntlet and the stones as he is. So she's easier to take down from the other, heroes and godly beings than Thanos was.
Another a theory that I really like is that the theory that Doctor Strange dusted himself. That he did not, it's an illusion.
Sure.
That he created because Thanos wants to get rid of half of all life, so he kills half of all life on every planet. Now, if you take it planet by planet, on Titan there were 7 people, and 4 of them are dusted. Now, three would probably be the half.
Five of them are dusted.
Oh, is it 5?
Five of
them. Oh, you're right, because it's just Tony Stark and Nebula. So 5. You could argue 4 is half. There's no way 5 is half.
Right.
So that fifth one being Doctor Strange, like doing an illusion and somehow moving himself to some other plane or other planet. I don't know. I don't know if he has that power.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a Sorcerer fucking Supreme.
Sure.
Right? Is he Sorcerer Supreme in the movie?
Yeah. At this point, yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
I think we're going to call him that.
Yeah.
I think I'm good with it.
Yeah.
Because the Ancient One is dead.
Yep.
So he would have ascended. I don't know what. Cause it wouldn't have been. I don't know why.
I don't think there was like a ceremony or anything.
Yeah,
you know, Wong is like, all right, the Sanctum needs a defender.
In the comics, the Sorcerer Supreme like is chosen.
It's a contest.
It's like, well, no, like doesn't the amulet choose the person almost in a way? Like
it's a contest run by the Ancient One. It's it's happened a few different times, but my favorite is Triumph and Tribulations, the Doctor Doom, Doctor Strange, where he earns the eye and all that jazz.
I thought there was that weird thing where like that voodoo, the voodoo guy, like just
Brother
Voodoo just happened to him. He didn't get a choice. It just kind of
he got picked.
Anyway,
I don't think anyone really expected Thanos to get all the stones.
No, I kind of expected it to end with him not having one, so that was where there's the minor victory, but he's still got the gauntlet and he can still
5 out of 6 is still enough to terrorize the world.
But they went there.
is he back on Titan at the end? So
I've only seen it the once. So in the I don't know.
In the very end, when he's done the snap and everyone's. Mm-hmm. Dusted out. Mm-hmm. That's dusted out. They show him like in like a home, like a little hut with like some vegetation and stuff.
Yeah.
I don't think it's Titan, but he's somewhere with life. He's somewhere, you know, he can kick back and relax, which is what happens to him in Infinity Gauntlet after he loses the gauntlet and loses at the end of the comic. He's in a little hut, which might be Titan in the comic, but I don't know how the Avengers are going to get to him to get that sort of thing unless Vision is alive and Shuri manages to fix him and he maintains some sort of connection to the Mind Stone.
I can see Shuri fixing him enough that he's alive, but I don't think he's going to have a Mind Stone connection.
I feel like, Vision can... He could be saved, it seems. He's a mechanical... I mean, he's sentient, but still, you know... It feels like you could save Vision, and it doesn't feel like a stretch to me that Vision can be saved, as opposed to the characters that were dusted. But at the same time, we've already seen what the Time Stone can do.
Mm-hmm.
So you know that if you can get the Time Stone back, you could technically reverse everything. If you went back to the moment Thanos tried to take the Tesseract from the Asgardians...
Mm-hmm.
You could reverse everything. I don't think that's what's going
to
happen.
I think they need to go to before that because he technically gets which one's the purple one, the one that Novacore has.
Novacore has the red one. Aether, the power.
The purple one that Guardians of the Galaxy has.
Yeah, he has the
purple. Oh, okay.
Yeah, he gets the purple one off screen, like in the beginning of the movie. You see all those those purple skinned with the red hair people like screaming and running, and their planet's getting tortured and decimated.
He gets the red one from the Collector.
Yes, right. He gets the red one from the Collector.
Yeah.
Power. But so I mean, I don't know if they'll go all the way all that far back. They would have to, I feel,
maybe you can't.
I don't think they need to do anything related to time to fix it. They can just bring everyone back. I mean,
if they get the gauntlet,
I don't think time needs to be manipulated to do it if they have the gauntlet.
Oh yeah, sure, because at this point, anyone
they can
who
just
it can
do whatever the opposite of a snap.
My feeling is Gamora is not going to be permanently dead, that she's probably in the Soul Stone.
Right.
Because Guardians of the Galaxy 3 is coming, and I just don't think that they were like, oh, well, let's just kill off Gamora. We can,
right.
We can make it work with Mantis or something, or Nebula or something.
I don't know, man. I've read a lot. The comics I've read, man, there's times where they plow forward without a main character. And to see how that goes, because, like, her absence could have just as much effect on a plot as her presence, as we saw, because fucking Star-Lord is, you know, his inability to control his shit is part of, you know...
The real villain is toxic masculinity.
Yeah. I actually kind of hope Gamora's really dead, just because her death meant so much.
Hmm.
And I think it would cheapen it to reverse it. The people that got dusted, I think, are all going to get reversed. I think that's pretty obvious. But I think that everyone we saw die who wasn't dusted is really dead.
Everyone before Thanos gets the sixth stone.
And maybe they can get her out of the soul stone somehow, or maybe they can go bargain with young
Gamora. See, that's the thing,
Gamora.
Is I think her death is different than, say, Loki or... the Asgardians. I think that her death is... because her death is tied to the Soul Stone, and the mm-hmm. Soul Stone is the one that controls life,
right.
for lack of a better term.
True.
Part of this is my personal thing of, I think Guardians of the Galaxy works better with Gamora as part of that group. And I think that the people making those movies probably think the same thing.
Yeah.
But they might not, because they don't give a shit about female characters and just about anything else.
I don't think it's that, but I think it's more like, what if Guardians of the Galaxy 3 is about getting Gamora back?
Mm. Well, maybe that.
So, to Tim's note about her possibly being in the Soul Stone is mm-hmm. worth coming back to, because there's a lot of history that supports people being killed but really trapped in the Soul Stone mm-hmm. and then getting freed or released from it. I mean, that is how Adam Warlock enters the Infinity Gauntlet story, is after his supposed death, he is released from the Soul Stone to go... he, Gamora, and Pip the Troll are mm-hmm. in the Soul Stone. So in the Infinity Gauntlet comic...
So Gamora was in the beginning, Soul Stone.
Yeah. She's dead
okay.
and gets released right. from the Soul Stone by Adam Warlock.
Yeah,
I think
Tim is on the right track. Can you take stones out of the gauntlet?
Yeah.
You can. You can remove
them
once they're in.
And the gauntlet can be destroyed. Yep.
So, because I don't think that she can come back as long as the Soul Stone is in the gauntlet.
Hmm.
I don't know.
Except for the fact that obviously they can use the gauntlet to do whatever they want and bring her back.
I think it's writer's convenience. Yeah. Like, it's whatever.
And Thanos can use the gauntlet to do whatever he wants, but there's nobody else that we know that's sufficiently powerful enough to use the gauntlet the way Thanos does.
Well, here's a question. If Thanos can use the gauntlet for whatever he wants, and he loved Gamora truly, which we know because he sacrificed her, could he bring her back? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what the rules are in the MCU.
He could. I feel like comic rules, he could.
The other thing is that, you know, what the Red Skull tells him is that there's...
God damn, how about that?
Yeah, it was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
There was a price.
Mm-hmm.
The Soul Stone exacts a price, and I don't think the price was, you got to kill Gamora.
Right.
I don't think that's real, because he talked about how I'm trying to remember.
It was, you had to sacrifice something you love, and he only loves one thing.
Yep. Yeah,
that's what it was. So it did have to be Gamora.
But that was to get the Soul Stone. But he talked about the possession of the Soul Stone.
Comes with a cost.
Comes with a price.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's not, to me, the price it took to get it. There's a price that Thanos has to pay because he has it.
I hope it's not something dumb like, oh, now you don't have a soul because you sacrificed something you love.
Or now you're cursed with a conscience.
Yeah. Oh, you will forever regret this.
So is Thanos lawful evil or lawful neutral?
Lawful evil.
Hey, that's what I would say.
Yeah.
I feel that wanting to get rid of half of all people in order to save planets is kind of neutral in that terrifying way.
No, because when you...
Because he wants to kill.
Because when you're gifted ultimate... infinite power, and the problem you're trying to fix is overpopulation, you don't get rid of half the people, you create more resources.
There were other solutions that he could have easily.
Yeah,
and he's the Mad Titan.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't feel like there has to be a lot of logic to his compulsion. I mean, in the comics, he's killing half of everyone to win the love of Death, who is a female personified, like a psychopomp type mm-hmm. character. She is speechless. Like, she doesn't talk. She's unimpressed. It's someone recently said, I much prefer this like overpopulation genocidal Thanos to the like incel kill yeah. half the people to try to fuck Death, Thanos. Like, oh yeah. Okay. That's fair.
So was there anything that you didn't like about the movie? I'll let you think while I tell you mine.
Yeah.
Okay.
And this might just be because I love mutants and I am unhappy with the way that the mutant thing has shaken out with the MCU. It sucks they don't have the rights. It sucks that they can't use mutants, and it sucks that Scarlet Witch, one of my favorite mutants, is now this powered person, right? So what bothers me is they made it very clear, even in the MCU version of the Scarlet Witch, that she has complete psychological domination powers. She turns Bucky into a fucking slave, like a kill assassin, right? She, and Hawkeye too, she gets in people's heads and makes them do whatever she wants in Avengers Civil War.
Ultron,
in Age of Ultron. Like at the beginning, she's in their heads. She's making them see shit. She makes Tony see a mound of dead, and all of his friends died. And like,
she makes Tony create Ultron.
Yeah.
I mean, or less.
She does all this psychological stuff that is, and she does none of it when the fate of the universe is on the line. She does none of it. There wasn't even a time when she was like, turn your guns on yourselves or anything, like, or stop fighting us. And I'm not looking for a No More Mutant style, yeah, like Wanda thing, but for fuck's sake, like, why did they give her all those psychological powers and show us so clearly what she can do? And then all I needed was like a line where she says, I'm never gonna do that again.
Yeah.
Like, it's wrong. And I like Wolverine not wanting to pop his claws or something. Like,
yeah,
I'll never do it again no matter what. And I would have been like, cool, she's got a reason. There we go. But they just never even talk about
it. So all the times she uses that kind of mind bendy power, I could be wrong, but I think all the times she does that, she is like sneaking up behind someone and being like, bleh,
yeah,
and like waving her hand over their head.
In their ear.
It seems like a subtle power that doesn't really lend itself well to like action scenes.
Sure, but they should have planned around it.
And so if she like snuck up on Thanos and hit him with a whammy, that'd be one thing, but I don't think she ever really gets the opportunity to do that. And I think by the time she gets to the point where she has such an opportunity, the love of her life is like being murdered.
Yeah, I guess. It was frustrating. I wish they had said something.
Yeah, that's fair. I'm not saying your complaint's invalid. Yeah. I
appreciated that Ant-Man was not in this, because as a post we saw shared virally said, why wouldn't Ant-Man just shrink down, fly up Thanos' butthole, and go back to regular size? Done. Game over. Like, just, you know.
So, I think I know my least favorite part.
Okay.
Oh, crap, I forgot. Tim, do you have yours ready? I just forgot
mine. No, I don't. I don't have mine right. ready.
So,
think it up. Come on up. Come on. Figure it out.
Something about
out, Nick.
I can say
Iron Man.
Anything.
Yeah, go for it.
Okay.
Oh, Molly hated the movie, everybody.
I actually, honestly, like, I really, really loved it. And it was just that little Scarlet Witch thing. I will just say, while you're thinking, I will share the story of James. We had this little kid who at first we were worried was going to ruin the movie for us, because he was, I'm going to say, 8. And sitting by himself in a seat and loudly shouting at the movie screen anything that came into his little 8-year-old mind.
Oh, yeah.
And then his parents and or guardian came over and was not really dissuading this.
She didn't show up until after the trailers had started.
Yeah, so the trailers start, and then this family also did the thing where, like, you had food delivered, but they also went and picked it up, and then twice someone came and tried to deliver them all their food.
Like, during the movie.
And the kids talking full volume through the trailers, and we're both just like, shit.
Give the pizza to someone else, dude. Like, just give it, like, even give it to your friends, man.
Straight coming, he's like, Venom looks dumb, you know, like, okay, this is gonna suck. But then
he's not wrong.
All right. And no, he, well, Venom's dumb. So he shut up, and not only did he shut up during the movie, but his glee and deep fucking comic knowledge, as Nick said, tits deep in comics older than his mother.
Yeah.
Like, the kid's like, Iron Spider! And, like, at the end stinger, he's like, Carol's gonna kick Thanos' ass! And, like, it was
like, this kid's so down with Captain Marvel that he's on a first-name basis with Carol Danvers.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it was, like, Carol's gonna kick his ass!
Yeah. When he said Iron Spider, I was like, I looked over and I was like, all right, kid. Like, yeah, fucking yeah. Recognize Rhea.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
All right, Nick, what did you think?
So... All right, it's nitpicky, and it has to do with my...
Yes, it is. It was a fucking amazing movie.
My favorite run of Iron Man. So in the second Iron Man movie, they do some of the extremist storyline.
Oh, yeah.
No, in the third Iron Man. Third Iron Man, right. They do some of this extremist storyline. Now, in the comics... what happens with extremists is Tony Stark gets it. He reprograms it. He does it to himself. And basically he reprograms his body so that instead of his brain being reliant upon the limitations of like consuming food for caloric energy, he now fuels his brain off the arc reactor and like makes himself smarter. He rewrites himself as a Stark operating system that runs on extremists, runs in his body. With that come, because eventually he realizes there's a point at which it doesn't matter how good the suit is, if he can't move and react and do things fast enough, the suit, it doesn't matter how good the suit is. So he rewrites himself. He effectively is Iron Man. The nanoparticle or nanite suit is a part of that with extremists because he is Iron Man. The nanites are inside him.
Yeah. They're like in his, I mean, they're just in his blood and right. His everything.
Yeah. So,
up inside him.
So they did extremists. They went so far as to like give Pepper extremists and like fix her. So Tony has it. He can tinker with it. He can change it. They gave him a nanoparticle suit. It could like, just they have all the elements there. It would be like two lines in one movie and three lines in another movie just to like make this thing from the comics that I love happen. And it's not there, but like all the elements are. Yeah. And
they just didn't say the thing.
It's just,
yeah.
They could just do it. Just do it.
My thing with Scarlet was just super nitpicky. It's like, what do you want? Like a line? Like a thing? Yeah.
It's Extremis is from a Warren Ellis comic, and all the Iron Man shit with that is Brian Michael Bendis' run that led up to like Dark Avengers and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
World's Most Wanted and that sort of thing. Yep. Yeah, anyway, that's mine.
Tim?
I don't know. You know, I liked a lot of it. I guess the thing that I noticed, and again, this is kind of nitpicky because I understand where it came from, but when you got to the dusting at the end... Virtually every single one of the characters that were of color and the women got dusted.
Ah.
And most of what's left is the white dudes.
And so that Nebula's, kind of bugged me. Is Nebula's left and Black Widow is left?
Nebula and Black Widow are left.
Ditto, you okay to go?
Huh? What?
The Wakandan general? Oyoke, did she...
Okoye? Okoye and Shuri.
Okoye and Shuri. We didn't see Shuri, so we assume she's...
We assume she's left.
So, yes, there are some... Dust? I mean, there... No, she didn't. But okay. I mean, I'm just thinking, you know, your heroes, your Falcon, your Black Panther. War Machine. Right. War Machine is the only Black Avenger left. And Black Widow and Nebula are the only women left. And it's just like... I get that most of the characters that are the core Avenger group are white dudes. But it would have been nice if, you know, maybe you don't dust Scarlet Witch. Yeah. Or maybe you don't dust.
I mean, they left Black Widow, and I think she's a core member, you know, of the original Avengers. So I think
presumably Shuri.
I get what you're saying, though. I think that, man. Yeah, it feels like it definitely felt... Because was there anyone, other than Spider-Man, did anyone big get dusted? Like T'Challa. In terms of T'Challa.
T'Challa got
dusted. When he went, our whole audience went, ugh.
And he went first.
It was great. Our whole audience gasped together. So, it was wonderful.
I mean, it was smart. When you dust T'Challa first, he just had a movie. And everybody's like, well, they're not going to dust T'Challa. Yeah. And then they do. And you're like, fuck.
Yeah. To me, it felt, and maybe it's from, you know, I'm not as big into comics and the comics as Nick and everything, but like having read a lot of them, I feel like anytime a big character dies, my reaction is, oh, what are they going to do to get this guy back?
Yeah.
Because he's not dead. I mean, of course not.
T'Challa's coming back. They just Black Panther just made a boatload of money. They want to make Black Panther 2, and they can't make Black Panther 2 without T'Challa.
Even aside from that,
they cannot.
They're going to sit there and be Black Panther.
I'm sure he's been Black Panther.
That's fine, but it doesn't matter. They're going to sit there and do the calculation of what actor the audience is going to want to see.
No, for sure. For sure.
Yeah, and that actor.
Also, at this point, there's no substitute for the heart-shaped herb that we're aware of. But who knows? Maybe someone had some hidden or whatever.
Why did they? Because they torched the whole
thing. Killmonger torched it. Yeah.
Right.
So in the comics, it is worth mentioning that Shuri, for a while, does become Black Panther. And she's a great Black Panther with an excellent costume.
Well, and I can see her becoming Black Panther in Avengers 4.
Yeah.
And that would be awesome. And I'd be all for it.
Queen.
But I'm still like, they want to make Spider-Man 2, and they want to make Strange 2, and they want to make Black Panther 2, and they're not going to do it with all those
characters.
We're
assuming, because as of right now, none of those movies are slated.
Yeah.
Guardians 3.
Nothing is slated.
Guardians 3 is.
It is?
It doesn't. It's 2 years from now.
Everything says Marvel Untitled Project.
James Gunn confirmed it today. Okay. 2 years from now, Guardians 3.
But they're not stupid. You know,
I understand, but my point is...
They know where there's money. Their money's printed.
Sure, but my point is, everyone keeps saying, well, they're going to make this, they're going to make that. You don't fucking know that. Like, we don't know. This whole thing was to blow us out of the water.
So, I think that speculating about, like, who's going to live and who's going to die, like, at this point, is fairly futile without... I think we can all make the assumption that the dusting will get undone. The snapshot,
I love that, by the way. The snapshot is
like
fantastic.
That's going to get undone. I think that's safe. Any other sort of deaths before that maybe are a little bit more in the air. But, I mean, so, like, people's contracts are going to start running out. Captain America, one of the Chris's, Evans.
Yep.
He's doing a movie by movie contract right now, and it's costing them like an extra $30 million a movie or whatever for him.
Well,
so
the amount of money they make, I don't think it matters.
But it does matter. I mean, it does matter. They have to worry about bottom lines, and they're making money, but at a certain point, like, they got to make decisions. Chris Hemsworth only has one more Thor movie in his contract, and then he's done. And he's sticking to that so far. Minds can change, but I think the second Infinity War movie, which doesn't have a title yet, we know it's not Infinity Gauntlet, and the Russo brothers said today that don't make a big deal over what the second movie title is. We haven't titled it yet, not because it's a spoiler, but primarily because we want people to focus on Infinity War.
Mm-hmm.
Don't sweat it. It's not a big deal.
It's very.
But I think that that's going to be how they posture and plan Phase 4, and that's when our replacements are going to happen. That's when now we have Stormbringer, and Stormbringer belongs in the hands of Beta Ray Bill, who was in Ragnarok, and they cut him out.
Yeah.
He's going to replace Thor. Bucky's going to replace Cap.
Here's what I think's going to happen.
Shuri's going to replace T'Challa.
And this is why I think your very valid complaints about how they dusted all the, you know, minority characters, both racial and gender minority characters, is I think what's going to happen is because the core Avengers lived through that snap, I think now they're going to die.
At least some of them.
I think that's how we're going to end this next Avengers, is Cap, Thor, the Bruce Banner, the Hulk, Iron Man, and Black Widow are all on the table for possibly just being gone forever.
Yeah, although
and sacrificing nobly.
I don't think all of them will die, but I think at least one of them.
I think three-fifths will go. I really do.
I don't think we're going to walk out of the next movie without permanent consequences beyond what... Like Loki is probably like super dead until he gets reincarnated or whatever. Right, yeah. There's shit in the comics that's been great with him coming back. But I think, like, some people are going to be dead for good. And I think the majority of the people who are going to be dead for good aren't dead right now.
I agree. And I think that what's going to be cool is then those people that got dusted in the snap are dusted for, yes, shitty plot convenience right now, but I think they're going to be brought back in a amplified role and maybe address that problem that you mentioned, the whole, like, Avengers is a bunch of white dudes, yeah. You know, and maybe like we'll get to have, because historically there's new Avengers. There's, you know, yeah. there's all kinds yeah. of stuff where like, yeah. and I think that Tony's going to hang it up and go be with Pepper. If he survives and if she takes him back, because if I was Pepper right now, fuck that. Well,
and real quick, before we go to five questions, yeah. things that we know they shot and that happened that weren't in this movie.
Oh yeah.
Pepper is in a number of scenes in the movie in some sort of suit, presumably like a rescue suit. Yeah,
I think we'll see that in second movie.
Scott and Hope, yeah. Ant-Man and Wasp are heavily shot. They shot a bunch of scenes and they weren't in this movie at all. They filmed both movies at the same time, largely. Hawkeye had a shitload of scenes, and he's totally going to wear his Ronin costume because they saw that shin guard. Like, there's all this shit that they shot that hasn't yeah. happened yet that I think we can count on.
I think it was really smart of them to shoot all that at once, because obviously that's how it works the best, and then to have it be leaked,
yeah.
or knowing it would be leaked, and be like, yeah. haha, suckers, like, see you on the cutting room floor, bitches. And
everyone's going to suspect everything for the next movie because of what they did. It was so fucking brilliant.
And we only have to wait a year.
It's great.
Fuckers.
And we get Ant-Man and the Wasp and motherfucking Captain Marvel with Skrulls.
That was such a good stinger. Even though yeah. we only got one, it was worth it.
Yeah. Even though they dusted Fury, who's another black guy.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Maria Hill.
And Maria yeah. Hill. So they dusted Hill.
Who's not a black guy.
A woman and a black dude.
Yeah.
Like I said, your point is very valid, but I think that it has reason other than, you know, minorities are your plot device.
I hope you're right.
Yeah. Can I give my one big sure. Guess for what's going to happen? You. All right. The next Infinity War movie is going to have a stinger, and maybe it'll be the very, very last stinger, not the mid-credits stinger, where someone is going to be like one of the Avengers that dies. Is going to be like on the slab at the morgue or something.
Okay.
And all of a sudden, the coroner or one of the other Avengers is going to look over and they're going to be like, oh, and have this horrified look in their face. And the camera will pan over and show you that their dead body now has green skin and a Skrull chin. And because with Captain Marvel doing Skrulls and Marvel getting Skrulls back, Phase 4 Secret Invasion.
Oh my God.
Like, that'd be so great.
No idea. I would come so hard if there was a Skrull yeah. reveal like that.
So
it is my favorite.
I'm just thinking, if you look at the two movies that are in between and you look at Carol Danvers is going to be all about the Kree Skrull War,
yeah.
I think it's a great setup.
It's
and
possible.
I think like it'll be a good way for them to clean house and change the guard for the future of Avengers.
Damn
right. All right. So there's so much more we could talk about. It's the longest Marvel movie yet. It's dense with plot and cool things. And I missed lines because it was so dense.
Yeah.
We're going to go see it again tomorrow night, but we could easily do another episode on this.
Yeah.
Easily.
Yeah.
We can't.
But what we can do is read someone's answers to our five questions.
Sweet.
It's true.
Who do we have?
Idea.
Before we do that, though, I would like to do some shout outs to Patreon supporters.
Please do, Molly.
Yeah, we've got some new Patreon supporters. Hooray! A whole bunch. We have. Leviatar Poljalasta, which I'm probably saying wrong because it's Finnish. Thank you, Leviatar. Ashley Brengman.
Leviatar, our friend
Leviatar,
of the show.
Yes, friend of the show, Ash Brengman. Maddie Love. Kelsey Hage, or Haig. And I think that's everyone. Yes,
wow.
That's everyone new so
that's
far.
Four that's new.
Four
yeah.
new Patreon
since the last time we recorded.
Supporters.
And they get
really nice.
You know, depending on the level, they get our thanks or episodes early or maybe even a button and
yep.
a sticker or something.
Yep,
yeah,
absolutely.
It's great. And if they answer our five questions, their answers get bumped to the top of the list.
And we're inching just closer
like,
to our next goal.
Yeah,
it's true.
Yeah.
And they get bumped to the top just like Patreon supporter Joshua Corwin.
Hey, all right. Joshua.
Hey, he says, hope you're keeping warm because he sent this in February. And now it's May and it's 75 fucking degrees because Minnesota
even
is
though
the
2 weeks
yeah.
ago, it was 5 fucking feet of snow.
Yeah. Yep.
It was 80
there's
degrees still, yesterday and there's snow in our neighborhood.
Yeah, there's still snow in our neighborhood because
it's not
melted yet.
Yeah. People don't live in Minnesota, you don't know what our life is like, and That's all right.
It's wonderful. Right. Don't move here.
We love our home. We just don't want any of you here. So,
first time caller. Well, not long time listener, but I went through the back catalog as far as Google Podcasts would allow.
Oh.
Hey, we're on Google Podcasts, guys.
I did that.
Real quick before the five questions, personal thanks to Molly for suggesting friend of the show C. Robert Cargill's book, Sea of Rust. Loved it. Very modern take on the robot apocalypse concept.
There you go. Shout out to Cargill.
Sea of Rust in bookstores now.
Screenwriter of Doctor Strange.
And sorry in advance if these are a little long or go a little sideways. I had an anxiety attack. Gee, I love being bipolar. Oh, I preach. Last night, and I haven't slept well. Okay, enough prattling. Five answers to five questions.
Question number one. What conspiracy do you find the most interesting or compelling?
Aliens and alien abductions.
Millions
of stars out there and millions of planets orbiting them, I'm sure there are some advanced alien civilizations out there. But why in the fuck would they come to this outer rim territory full of war, pollution, and stupidity? And why would they need to take someone for probing? If they can navigate across galaxies, they can probably just x-ray our asses to find what's up there that's so fascinating.
Or like, just
it could be Ant-Man.
Ready to explode.
God damn it.
Or like, I mean, if they can do all that, right? Like, I bet they don't. Why the butt?
Like, yeah. Maybe they have some sort of prime directive.
Maybe they don't.
Their prime directive.
Don't interfere with our culture and also dad ass.
Maybe they don't have butts. Maybe it's just like, what's
oh, this? Yeah. Like, yeah. They don't have any kind of digestion system. That's true.
Question two. What is your perfect 2-week vacation?
Obviously, this would be before the hurricanes that trashed the place, or after they get things back to normal. But my wife and I went to Puerto Rico a couple of years ago, and I love it. I've never been anywhere tropical before, so that was amazing. I could get a mojito anywhere, at any time. Almost everybody spoke English as well as Spanish, so I didn't have to worry about the stupid gringo problem. I could walk through the jungle, or hang out at the beach, or swim in the pool with my mojito. As you can tell, I liked that part. I'm not the heavy drinker I used to be, but a cocktail every couple of hours keeps me nice and relaxed.
Not the heavy drinker. All right.
Listen. You don't listen. You know, we self-medicate the way we self-medicate, and you just be happy that we're stable.
Question number three. What is a movie or book that changed your life?
I'm going for one of the most common answers, but not really. The Empire Strikes Back.
Yes.
Sure.
It's a movie.
The Infinity War of Star Wars movies.
It is. Sure, I was floored by Star Wars like everybody else, but it was listening to Yoda that got me interested in philosophy. It was Han Solo's sacrifice that made me realize that even heroes can die. It was Luke's confrontation with Darth Vader that made me look at my own dark side. The original is great, but there's a reason most people rank The Empire Strikes Back as their favorite.
Here. What is the geekiest thing you've ever done or said?
It's kind of hard to narrow down. Would going to a steakhouse in Renfair garb count?
That's my
weekend.
Yeah. Right.
Maybe invading Chuck E. Cheese in vampire LARP attire?
Absolutely.
Sure.
Wait, I've got it. I've always loved stories. I analyze them, retell them, rewrite them, whatever I can do to keep them fascinating. I've spotted the hero's journey trope in many TV shows and movies. Some friends of mine insisted that I sit down and watch Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone with them, having never read any of the books or seen any of the other movies previous to this. After a few minutes, I started calling out the next major event in the story. I even figured out who the real bad guy was way in advance. They accused me of lying about reading the book or watching the movie. Then they asked how I could know these things and spent a good 30 minutes breaking down the hero's journey for them. Then it morphed into the most annoying thing I ever did. But hey, I'm a story geek, so I can't help myself sometimes.
if you're really interested in the hero's journey, like, template archetype, I don't know, there's a specific like version of that that Dan Harmon uses called the Dan Harmon Story Circle, which is like a modified hero's journey that he uses for writing stories.
That's cool.
It's really great. And our last question five, we're on four.
We
I jumped ahead
four.
Oh
yeah,
it's question five and it's Tim's
oh
turn.
then I skipped number three.
We read all of them.
Not my brain is.
Yep.
It's filled with Infinity War.
My
brain got dusted.
There was a lot.
Question number five. What's your favorite hangover cure?
Glass of water, piece of bread, couple aspirin, go to bed. Yes.
That sounds like prison food.
Yes, we had to make a rhyme so we could remember it even when hammered.
Say it again so you can hear the rhyme in it.
Glass of water, piece of bread, couple aspirin, go to bed.
That's solid.
That is solid.
Put that on a t-shirt. Yeah, people will wear it.
Yeah. All right. Hopefully that wasn't too painful. You keep being entertaining. Sorry. And I'll keep listening and laughing. Thanks, gang. That sorry was from me to Josh.
I got that. Oh, yeah. No. But maybe the listeners didn't. So it's good that you filled them
in. Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. So, hey, there was so much in Infinity War, and obviously we missed or didn't talk about a lot. So, we would encourage you to leave comments or talk about Infinity War with the caveat that you are very careful about spoiling this movie for other folks. Try to be respectful. Try to be careful. You can open up a Facebook message or start a private group. Or, you know, if you want to leave comments and talk about it with us, geekswithoutgod.com. Find this episode. Leave comments there. Maybe not Facebook for a week or two. Maybe like give it a week or two before Facebook comments on this post.
Also, the three of us really find fake spoilers unfunny. So I'm just going to let you know right now, if you're thinking, I'm going to go over there and say Dumbledore dies, I will judge you harshly and I will find you unfunny. I'm sorry, it makes me nuts.
Who wants to be found unfunny by Molly? Nobody.
Nobody.
Let me tell you from personal experience, it's not that great. on that note, thanks for listening. You can find us on Patreon if you want to support what we're doing and help us out. If you're noticing an improvement in our sound quality, that's because of our Patreon supporters.
Like the ones we mentioned. Not like them, necessarily.
Like you.
But I'm like talking, them.
If
like
you're a
them.
Patreon supporter, I'm talking to you.
Oh, like them and that they are bipedal humans as well?
Yeah, sure. So thanks to those folks. You can be one of those folks. You can listen to these episodes early by just throwing us a couple bucks a month. You can leave us a rating on like iTunes or Google Podcasts or what have you. We'd love to get some more ratings.
You could also just rate us. Just tell us what you rate us.
Just tell it like just walk up to one of us and just hold up like a number on your hands.
I like stickers.
If you rate us on iTunes, you can post a spoiler. That's
damn.
There you go.
Boy. Wow.
I'm not saying we won't delete it.
But you can post it.
You can post it.
You can post it. All right.
Half of all spoilers shall be removed.
Ooh. And with a snap, we'll be back next week. Actually, my biggest complaint was that they didn't wash away Trump Tower like they do in the comic.
We're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Until next time. You can find us blogging and listen to past podcasts at geekswithoutgod.com. And you can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod.
We're geeks. We're geeks. We're geeks without God. We're geeks. We're geeks. We're geeks without God. We're geeks. Geeks without God.
You could probably get our bumpers in.
Maybe. If